In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the scripture says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. And how can one be warm alone? Verse 12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We want to just think about this here, what it says in verse number 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. He's got no help. For he hath not another to help him up. The one that has his fellow, he's got help. And we all need help. We all need help. You think back in the scriptures, and you know, this is the reason that you need to be reading your Bible and feeding on the Word of God and knowing these things. You remember over in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 10, remember how it was there that those folks from Gibeon came and they wore that, all that old stuff and had those old bottles and had that old moldy bread and all that, and they had dust on them and dirt on them and wore out animals however all that was, and they said, we've come from a long, long way away and we want to make a deal with you. And Joshua and the children of Israel got suckered in. And you know what happened? The inhabitants of the land, the Amorites, the five kings of the Amorites, they looked on at that and saw how Gibeon had made peace, or they thought joined Israel. And the testimony of those kings, one of those kings in Joshua chapter 10 is, come up unto me and help me that we may smite Gibeon. That was his plea. You know, kings look for help to do even wicked and evil things. In turn, when the word about that came about, the folks there in Gibeon, that city that had made the deal, made the pact and the agreement in that deceitful way, yet they did, when they heard about those Amorites coming, they sent over to Joshua and said, you all come help us because they're going to eat us up. You remember about Joab and 2 Samuel and the thing regarding Absalom. And he got this woman, this wise woman of Tekoa, to go speak to David about a scenario at hand. And her plea to David was, help, O king. And she told about a thing and correlated that ultimately to Absalom, so David would soften up about Absalom coming to him. Syria, if you remember that, Syria besieges Samaria. Samaria is that capital, Ahab's city, Jezebel's city. They're long gone. And because of Israel's disobedience and going the wicked way that they did, the northern 10 tribes, if you will, Syria besieges Samaria because of her sins. And there's the city is being besieged and there's nothing to eat. And one of the women that are there says to the king in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 26, and as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried unto a woman unto him, saying, help, my lord, O king. It was a terrible thing that was done because of Israel's wickedness and that. But she sought help from someone that she thought could help her. In Luke chapter 5, the disciples have fished all night and taken nothing. But the Lord says unto them to launch out into the deep and get ready to catch some fish. And what happened? When they filled up that net, as the children sang, they're cast your nets on the other side, and they did so. And of course, I think that's a different account. But that net was so loaded that they said, hey, you guys over here, come help us. They needed help, didn't they? And they beckoned to their partners, which were on the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. They caught so much fish at the bidding of the Lord. Remember about Mary and Martha? Martha, in Luke 10, verse 40, was cumbered about with much serving, came to the Lord and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Needed help. Of course, the Lord told her what was more important. And then you remember the vision, the Apostle Paul seeking to go into Northwest Asia Minor, Northeast Asia Minor. And they were just prevented in doing so. But there was a vision. He's seeking the will of the Lord about how to get it accomplished. And there was a vision that appeared unto Paul in the night in Acts 16:9. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed unto him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And of course, that's of the Lord. But the need was great over there in Macedonia, north of GNC, I think it is, and just to the northeast of Greece, and they went on down into Greece. They needed help in hearing the word of the Lord, and that was the way the Lord communicated that to Brother Paul. We need help. We all need help at one time or another. When we go and have a baptismal service, we look to move the pulpit and ask some of you brethren to do it or to that, and one will get on one side and one will get on the other, or one that's on one side waits for the other to move the thing because he needs help. We all need help. You know, there's statements in the scripture about help or lack of help. In 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 26, the scripture says, "For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter. For there was not any to shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel." They were in terrible straits because of their sin and their wickedness as they went into captivity. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse number 8, the scripture says, "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Statements about the Lord is our helper. Almuth, Brother Almuth writes in Psalm 46, verse number 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Another psalmist writes, "For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper." There are those that are without help, aren't they? Psalm 121, verse 1, the scripture says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." My help, verse number 2, cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The psalmist had experienced that. There's statements in the scripture about how the Lord has helped me. Remember Moses? Remember how he went over there in the desert of Midian and met Jethro and his family, and Jethro gave him a wife, one of his daughters to wife. He had two sons. And in Exodus chapter 18, verse number 4, the name of the second son was Eliezer. Because Moses said, "For the God of my father," said he, "was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh." That's very specific. A specific thing that was said. Israel was worshiping false gods and came together at Mizpah and repented. The Philistines saw that and they gathered together against the children of Israel. And the Lord defeated the Philistines with a great thunder that day. They didn't even have to fight until after the Lord fought, and then they just chased him. You remember this? We sing about this. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, 'Hitherto hath the Lord helped us.'" The Apostle Paul, testifying before Festus and Agrippa, having been accused of something in Jerusalem that he didn't do. But they've taken him to Caesarea, and he's been there for some time, and Festus has come into Felix's seat, and he's appealed to Agrippa to help him with this situation regarding Paul. And Paul's testimony in speaking before them is this in Acts chapter 26, verse number 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That's what he said. All I've been saying is a scripture that we already have. God has helped me was the testimony of these. But then what I want to look at in a greater way this morning is the contents of the scripture of actual pleas for help. This is what got my attention about this subject as I was reading in the Psalms and reading some of the Psalms of David about what the scripture accounts of those pleading to God for help and what's recorded in that and what's accounted in that. Zerah the Ethiopian goes to war with Asa, king of Judah. Judah has 580,000, along with Benjamin, has 580,000 fighting men. If I understand it right, they don't have any chariots. So they've got armor, but they don't have chariots. Zerah the Ethiopian, their leader, has 1 million soldiers and 300 chariots. And the chariots make it to where they can move fast, but they're almost outnumbered 2-1. They go to battle. They're set in array. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God. He entreated the Lord and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. A king entreated the Lord for help in a day of distress. In 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 1, Jehoshaphat, he's got riches and honor and abundance. He's the king of Judah, and he joined affinity with Ahab, which was a mistake. It not only cost him in his kingdom, but it cost him in his family. And they go together to fight against the king of Syria. Ahab asks him if he'll go with him, and he says yes. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 31, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, what the Syrians had determined to do is that they were just going to go to the leaders. They were going to go to Ahab and kill him. Don't meddle with all these soldiers. They wanted the leader said to their forces, you go straight to the king and we'll defeat him that way. They see Jehoshaphat and they perceive that he's a king. And it says, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore, they compassed him about to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. He was disobedient, but he was in a strait. And he cried out, a king cried out unto the Lord, help me, help me. And so, well, that just shows a weakness. No, that's just admitting truly that we are weak. Because we all need help. And then we come to our brother David. The testimony of David is he's a man after God's own heart. Samuel tells to Saul years before David's even born, if we understand it correctly. But now thy kingdom shall not continue, 1 Samuel 13:14. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Saul didn't see himself to need any help from the Lord. until he just got himself in over his head. And the Lord chose David. Paul preaching in the synagogue at Antioch in Pisidia in Acts chapter 13. He says about David in verse 22, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." And I've thought about over the years, why is it that David is said by the Lord to be a man after his own heart? Well, David loves the Lord. And David knows he needs the Lord. Remember, it's the testimony of David from the beginning with the bear, with the lion. He gave honor and glory and praise to the Lord. He sought the Lord's help in defeating them. And the Lord, he gave honor and glory to the Lord that the Lord did defeat the lion and the bear. Although David moved against them, he knew it was the Lord that helped him. David humbled himself before the Lord and admitted openly and to the Lord that he needed him, not his own ability. We know that even by Brother David, when he sought his own way, it got him in trouble, didn't it? But while he knew that he needed the help of the Lord, he was blessed indeed. In Psalm 12, verse number 1, these are Psalms of David. And listen to what our brother writes. "Help, Lord. For the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." We got a bad situation going on here, Lord, and we need your help. I've got a kingdom. You put me over a kingdom of men, and we've got a bunch of wicked men here. And the wicked are always working against the righteous and your people. Joab was his... How was that with Joab? Was he his nephew? And Joab had done what David had put out there at Jerusalem to become the captain of his host. And Joab accomplished it, defeating the Jebusites and that there at Jerusalem when they took that city. And that made him captain over the host. But Joab was an ungodly, wicked man, wasn't he? I think about that. I don't know if that's all of what David was talking about, but he said, "Help, Lord. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." In Psalm 22, verse number 1, David writes, and I believe that he yields this from his own heart, and yet it is the Lord working. It's prophetic about the Lord Jesus Christ, but he writes, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Lord, it looks like you've forsaken me. Why have you forsaken me? I believe he didn't just write that from the prophetic standpoint, but I believe he experienced it and he believed that his Lord had forsaken him. "Why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" You know, we can be honest with our Lord. We don't need to be belligerent. We don't need to be heady. We don't need to be disrespectful. But indeed, we can be honest with God. You know, we think about our own children, and we think about when they, more so when they were little. You ever have a child that really, really got in a strait, really, really got in a problem, some kind of accident or some kind of thing that happened? Maybe something like they were pinned or they were pinched or they were really hurt, and they would cry unto you and say, help me, daddy. Help me, mama. And they weren't out of the way in crying that to us, were they? Not at all. Help me. They would plead us, help me. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" In verse 11 of Psalm 22, David declares, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." I need some help. He goes on in verse 19, "But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength." Listen to what he says. "Haste thee to help me. Hurry, Lord. Hurry, Lord. He says, Lord, I need help. I need you to hurry. In Psalm 27, verse 9, David declares, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. I need some help. You're the only one that can really help me, Lord. In Psalm 30, hear, O Lord, verse number 10, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Help me. In Psalm 38, verse 22, make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Make haste. Hurry. Hurry to help me, Lord. You know, we don't force the Lord into doing anything. We need to surely understand that we don't leverage our Lord into anything. You don't play games with God. But our relationship is a wonderful and perfect relationship because of what he's done through Christ, of a father and a child. We're children. Even though we're grown, some of you are up in years, we are all children of our Lord. And that's the relationship. It's perfect because of the way he's designed it, the way he's put it together. And well, we need to know that he is our only help. Make haste to help me, O Lord of my salvation. In Psalm 40, verse 13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Hurry. Hurry to help me, Lord. In Psalm 70, this is the one that got my attention about this subject. In Psalm 70, verse number 1, make haste, O God, deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. I need some help, Lord, and I need it now. I need some help now. I need you to hurry, Lord, now. Not in anger. Not in a wrathful way to our God. But being empty to self and knowing that we have no ability and no way, and to cry unto him. In Psalm 70, verse 5, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God, for thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Don't wait. Don't wait. Lord, please come on and help. Psalm 108, another psalm of David in verse 12, says, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. A man just really can't help. In the end, a man just cannot help like you can, Lord. Psalm 109, verse 26, help me, O Lord, my God. O save me according to thy mercy. Brother Asaph, he wrote some psalms, and in Psalm 79, verse number 9, that he says, help us, O God of our salvation. Maybe the brother was taught by what the Lord blessed David to write. Amen. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. Deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Other psalms that we don't know who wrote them exactly in Psalm 71, verse 12. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Hurry. Hurry, please hurry and help me. In Psalm 119, in verse number 86, all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. In Psalm 119, 173, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. That Psalm 119 speaks about the precepts and the word and the statutes and the judgments of the Lord, what he has said, what he has given, and how great it is. Hardly a verse comes to us in that psalm that doesn't speak about what the Lord has declared, what he has said. He said, there are those that are against me. They're coming after me wrongfully. I need your help. I'm following your way. Remember the woman that was a Greek, a Syrophoenician woman that came to our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 26. The woman was a Greek and Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought Jesus that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. She's a Gentile. In Matthew 15, verse 25, the account is, then came she and worshiped the Lord Jesus, saying, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. I can't do a thing about what's going on. Help me. And her faith was great in the Lord, wasn't it? The Lord said, it's not fit to give the children's food to the dogs. That's what we are. From the standpoint of the nation of the Lord. But she said, yea, Lord, that's true. But even the dogs are fed by the crumbs from the children's table. Amen. He said, woman, great is thy faith. Be it done unto thee as you've desired. In Mark chapter 9, remember the man after the Lord came down with the brethren from the Mount of Transfiguration, and those apostles that remained, this man brought his son that was a lunatic unto them. They couldn't heal him. And as they come down in Mark chapter 9 from the mount, the Lord sees what's going on. He asks them, said, what do you question with them? They count in Mark 9:22, and oft times it, that is the demon, the devil, had cast him into the fire, the son, into the waters to destroy him. Listen to what the man says. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This man's desperate. You know, the Lord is praised and honored and glorified when we get down to the end of ourselves and we get desperate and come to him. When we see and know our weakness and our emptiness, and we come to him that has no weakness and is full of life, he's praised by that. We naturally want a hedge, don't we? We naturally want to seek our own way. We naturally want to be self-sufficient. It is good. People should be responsible for themselves. You know, there's another extreme at this. Whether we live in a day that all people want perpetually is help. That's not right. We've been made to live and to work and to live life as the Lord's given it and designed it. But when we come upon life and we come upon struggles, we come upon trial, our Lord is honored and glorified when we seek his face for help. And we need to, and not our own means. Not only did the man ask about helping for his son, the Lord told him, if you have faith to believe, all things are possible to those that have faith. Faith in him. The Lord's on the scene, and he's working on the situation. And you know what this man cried in Mark chapter 9, verse 24? And straightway the father of the child cried out. He cried out, said with tears, he's empty of himself and he's desperate. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I need help. I need help in every way. I need help with my son, and I need help to rest in you. Help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. In Isaiah chapter 41, we have a great passage here. I'll be honest with you, I'm not as familiar with this passage as I should be, and this is the time that the Lord has helped me to become more familiar with it. But see if you see if something rings in your ears here with this passage. In Isaiah 41, we'll come down here to verse number 10. Of course, Isaiah is a prophet to the Lord's nation. In Isaiah 41, verse number 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee." You hear that? "I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They shall strive with thee that they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." The Lord talks about prayer and talks about the widow woman that had the case that she brought before the judge, and she continually wearied him. And how it is that we men ought to always pray, and that's praying to the Lord, seeking Him. He's the only one that can help, and He's honored and glorified by that, and that's the design, that's the way it's to be. And the judge granted her petition because he didn't want to be wearied by her. He didn't fear her, and he didn't give a lick about God. But because she would weary him, he went ahead and gave her what she wanted. "Hear what the unjust judge saith," the Lord says. And in Luke 18, verse 7, the Lord says something here. "And shall not God avenge his own elect, his children, which cry day and night unto him?" Cry unto him for help. Desperate, at the end of self and strength and ability of anything that we know to do and pursue, and that we're at the end, and we cry unto our Lord day and night for help. Help for ourselves, help for our loved ones, help for sinners without Christ, help for our church, help for our neighbors. Help. "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord," you know that song, don't you? "Is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said?" He's given his word. And his word gives example to cry unto him for help. "To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled." What we read there in Isaiah 41, I think it's the genesis for this verse. "Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand." In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, where we started, the scripture says in verse 9, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth." He's got no help. Listen. Listen, each and every one of you. We all need help. If you're here without Christ, you have no helper. But we point you to the helper, the Lord Jesus Christ. He can help you with the need of your soul. He can help you with your burden and debt of sin. He can help you. Woe unto him that is alone when he falleth. Child of God, we've got a helper. Church, we've got a helper. But woe unto us when we refuse that helper. We can do that, can't we? Woe unto us when we don't avail ourselves to the helper that is our Savior. We can do that. I can do that. You can do that. We can say, no, I'm going to bear up under this by my own grit and self-will and determination. I understand it. But then in some respects, I don't understand it when the children of God will say, well, I don't want to belabor the Lord with that. What? Wake up. He's your Father. He's our Father. He cares about everything. Yes, we have a responsibility before our Lord, but we can only pursue and go that responsibility and do that to the honor and glory and praise of our Lord with His help. We need Him. I think that's what prayer, that the blessing of prayer is so great. The Lord has made prayer. You know those Psalms of David that we read? What was David doing? He was petitioning God. Don't stumble over the word prayer that it's any different than asking and pleading. Don't let that word prayer make you think that it's something that it's not. It's just going to the Lord for help. And in thanksgiving and in praise also. Woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Oh, but if you have a helper, two people can get a lot of work done more than one can, can't they? Two people can help one another when one falls and can be picked, lifted up and continue on. You can do a lot more. In Hebrews chapter 4, speaking about Jesus Christ, so great a high priest. I have no one to intercede for me. I have no avenue, no way to go to God and deal with my sin and my need in and of myself. I didn't even know there was a problem. But Jesus being a high priest, he's got access to God. He's licensed to speak in the court. You understand what I'm saying? He can stand before that highest of bars and declare and work and resolve my case. And what he gives in payment for my sins is accepted by the Father. So much so that when the Lord saves us and that he makes us not only a forgiven sinner, but a child of God. Adoption. There's even adoption that goes on at that courtroom in that bar. In Hebrews 4:16, speaking of Jesus being our great high priest, he said, the apostle writes, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We belong. We don't have to cower. It's not talking about being heady and high-minded and belligerent. It's not talking about that. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need to petition our Lord for help, and we need to know that we all need help. As the apostle writes up the book in chapter 13 of Hebrews, he's doing a rapid fire kind of thing, several things that he's mentioning. And in verse number 6, he said, let us have confidence, let's have faith in the Lord and the things that he's said. In chapter number 12, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In chapter 13, verse number 6, he said, let us take all this to heart and let us follow this and walk in this so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man can do unto me. We all need help. We all need help from the Lord. And I think that this is two familiar verses, but I think it speaks to that and the things that are said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We need help. But you got to humble yourselves. We have to humble ourselves to admit we need help. We've got to pray to our Lord to seek his face and help. We need to look to our Lord in seeking his face for help. In Micah chapter 6, verse number 8, he has showed thee, O man. O man. That's to each and every one in the house. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You need help. And God's the only one that can give it to you. Child of God, our God is the only one that can really help. Sinner, it's God Almighty that can help you. Psalm 146, let's read over here. Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man. That's not speaking of Jesus. That's talking about Adam's lineage, in whom there is no help. Don't trust in them. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of the God of Jacob for his help. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. Where can you get some help? Where can I get some help? From the Lord that's done it all. Not a man. And you know what? Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. There is no help in you. Sinner without Christ. You cannot help yourself. You need the Lord's help. We need the Lord's help in every way. Hosea 13:9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But in me, the Lord says, is thine help. Naturally in our sin, or whenever we pursue after the way of this old flesh, we hurt ourselves, don't we? We don't help ourselves. We hurt ourselves. But with the Lord, we're going to be helped in a blessed way.